In this talk, we look at five priorities for the Christian, five things that the Christian must focus upon and apply in order to fulfill God's will in us. This is primarily addressed to people that are baptized and Spirit-filled. If you have not yet been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in new tongues, you are not yet a Christian. In Romans 8 verse 9 we are told that if any person have not the Spirit of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, that person is nothing to do with Christ. That person is not associated with Christ. In fact, is not a Christian at all. So if you are in this category, the advice from the Word of God is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to get baptized in water by full immersion for the remission of your sins, and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you truly turn to Him with all your heart, He will fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will know that you have received the Holy Spirit when you speak in new tongues, exactly as all the members of the original church did. Now let's get back to setting the five priorities. Priority number one, Matthew 22 verses 37 to 40. This is all about the love of God, which must be our first love. Having been asked what is the greatest commandment of the law by one of the lawyers that stood by, Jesus answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These are the two great commandments of God. They summarize everything about God's intention for mankind, our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. We note that the lawyer never identified these two. He only spoke or inquired of the one. But Jesus answered by declaring two commandments, both of which are equally important and equally essential. One cannot be fulfilled without the other, for they are both expressions of the will of God. We cannot love our fellow man if we do not first love God. And equally, we cannot love God if we do not love whom He created in His image, namely, our fellow man. This is the very essence of the kingdom of God, which we're told in Matthew 6 verse 33 that we are to seek first and foremost as our priority. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," that is God's righteousness, "and all these things shall be added unto you." So our first priority is crystal clear. That is to put the will of God first and let this be a guiding principle in everything that we do. In fact, the following four steps or four priorities are highlighted to support that number one priority. It's really all about fulfilling priority number one. Priority number two, 1 Peter 2 verses 1 to 2. Hearing the word of God. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." God expects growth in us as His children, that is, spiritual development, to reach a state of maturity. Here we are told how this is to be accomplished, through our desire to feed upon the nourishment of God's Word. The Bible is God's Word for us. His Word will provide all the necessary direction and encouragement. It will provide correction to steer our path and guide us on the right course. The Word of God contains answers to every question that comes up in every area of this life, and it opens a window on the life to come. It is a means of building faith. We read in Romans 10 verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith is the currency upon which the kingdom of God is based. It is the commodity of life. As we hear God's word and let it sink into our heart and mind and let it take root, it will yield fruit through our action upon that word, our appropriation of what God says. The word can only profit us if it is mixed with or accompanied by faith. We must be determined to act upon it. God's promises only become realized in our lives as we determine to live by that word. If we act upon that word as though it was the only reality, for indeed it is the ultimate reality, we will have good success. Our desire for that word should never grow cold and become distant. It should ever grow in our desire. We want to know more and grow more. There is never a point where we can say, "That's enough. I know it all now." We never know it all. It is a continual voyage of discovery and wonder. Our hunger for God is something that should be subject to constant growth, and we should be eager to grow thereby. Priority number 3, Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7, prayer. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is a vital link in our relationship with God. We read and hear His word, but this is not enough on its own. This must be accompanied by spiritual communication. God is a spirit, and we are made in His image. Our spirit must commune with His spirit. We are to converse in the spirit with our Father. And the spirit God has put in us enables us to gain great edification in the faith. God ministers to us, and we minister worship to Him in the Spirit. For this is the way God wants us to worship Him. John 4 and verse 24. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are kept, that is preserved, in the love of God through prayer in the Spirit. Jude 20 to 21. Which is praying or speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 2 and 14. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So prayer is an indispensable activity for the true believer. Priority number 4, Hebrews 10 verses 23 to 25, fellowship in the body of Christ. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Fellowship, that is meeting with fellow saints, is absolutely essential to succeed as a Christian. The early church gathered daily. They continued steadfastly in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The Christian cannot survive without the fellowship of other faithful, spirit-filled people. We need to be ministered to, and we need to minister to others. We simply cannot fulfill our number one priority unless we are actively involved, engaged in fellowship. The origin of our English word fellow tells us an important story. It comes from the Old English word philae, which literally means to lay down a fee or a price. The Bible calls upon us to lay down our lives for one another. This means that we are to set aside our selfish aims and to render our service to our fellows. To lay down our lives for our fellows, for the mutual good. Priority number 5, Acts 1 verse 8, witness for Christ. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our desire for the kingdom of God should invoke a sense of duty to our fellow man, in that we are to tell others of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We are messengers of the kingdom of God. We have been given the power and ability to be God's true witnesses in this world. 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is the perfect example of God's love for us. His love was exemplified through his sacrificial death and offer of salvation to every one of us. This is the same message that we are to share with others, so that they might enjoy their salvation. There is no greater degree of love than this, and it is a fulfillment of our number one priority, to love God and our fellow man as ourselves. The greatest love we have experienced is God's love through Jesus Christ. The greatest love that we can show our fellow man is to share the love of Christ with them. So this is a fitting step to conclude our five priorities. Let us pray that God will strengthen our resolve and ever bless us to fulfill them.